well and happy and healthy. And it's wonderful to see all of you. I'd like to start with, like we did a couple weeks ago, with Tehillim, because Corona is Corona, to cry out to Hashem. And like we said 2 weeks ago, it's Refah, Kael Na Refah Na La. We have one word whenever we hear someone sick or see someone needs a problem. If we say the one word Refah, that's the word that could just make all the difference in the world. So I have, if you'd like to unmute yourself and join us, the tefillah of all of us, the Tehillim, the Psalms of all of us together, are very, very powerful and precious before God. And God willing, we'll see only health, that whoever's sick will get healthy, whoever's well will stay well and not get sick. And it's a small chapter of Tehillim. It's 134. It only has three sentences. So if you ever want to say a whole chapter of Tehillim of three sentences, I'm thinking it might be the shortest one in the whole book of Psalms. If anyone knows of a shorter one, please tell us, please chat us, and we'll have a shorter one. Meanwhile, I'll read it and then you can join me. Shira Malois, Hine Borchu Es Adonai, Kol Avdei Adonai, Ha'oimdim Beveis Adonai Balelois, Tzu'u Yedechem Kodesh, Uvarchu Es Adonai, Yivarechacha Adonai, Yitzion, Oisei Shamayim Va'aretz. Like we learned from Moses, he said just five words for his sister, and that was enough to heal her. So this was a couple more than five words. And so we learned from him how to pray. On the one hand, he did 40 days and nights, which is long. And on the other hand, he did five words. And I want to pray for every person who is sick, and in specifically for Shalema, for Chaim, Lieber Mordechai, Ben Bela Hendel, Herschel Tzvi Ben Yehudis, Dov Isser Hakoin Ben Shoshana, Chaim Maimon Ben Batya, Baruch Shimshon Ben Sima Rochel, Elisheva Anat Bat Sara, and Chaim Menachem Ben Leah. Together with all people that are sick. Yes, Tatiana? Can't hear you.
Tatiana, you're unmuted.
Oh, okay.
We can hear you.
This soldier who was wounded, Nathaniel Elan Ben Shein Tzipora. He was wounded a year and a half ago. Please, right. Daven for his refor shlema, and also, amen, if we can, for my partner in Torah, Hannah Bas Basha, and okay, my sister Valentina Chayabat Rosa.
Okay, thank you.
And also you. Judy, for Hannah Feda, but Yael, young woman.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Leia
Batinda.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Miriam, you want to go ahead?
Rachel Devorah Bat Tzuvia Shaina.
Amen.
Amen.
It's such a wonderful idea, Miriam. We can't hear you.
Beautiful and precious, something that is at the right time, something that is timely. And when we talk about the period of the year that we're going through, because every single year, God gives us another chag, another holiday, another period like Sfiras HaOmer. And in those times of year, it's not just we are remembering something or commemorating an event, a historical event, and thinking about it. We are doing all the above, but it's also we are reliving it. And it gets into our hearts and into our souls. And all the ore, the light, the salvation, the holiness, the closeness that God gave us in the original, let's say, in the original time of year, the original Exodus of Egypt, he gives us that same light every single year in Nisan, in the month of Nisan. He gives us the same light when we are about to receive the Torah a week from Friday, Shavuos, the Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah. He gives us that same opportunity, that same potential of closeness and of reliving it and living it and gaining. And so let's talk now a little bit about this period of time between Pesach and Shavuos and how we can tap into the deep wells of faith, of Emunah, that have brought our fathers through and brought us and will bring us through this period of time. And let's learn from our fathers then, from the great Tzaddikim then, from Moses, from Yahushua, and let's bring it up that we can live it today and learn it today and become better and closer and have more faith in God. So the days of Sefirot HaOmer are fundamental to the Jewish people and to each one of us as individuals. As we said, it happened many, many years ago, but it happens again every year. And not only in this time of year, like May, June, Nisan, Iyar, it could happen to a person in stages of life over and over again. And this will equip us and it will show us how we can strengthen ourselves and how we can follow and go through this period of time. Now let's go back to the original Egypt, the original time that the Jews were in Egypt. There are four phases and let's count them together. First, the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. And then God took us out in the middle of the night on the 15th of Nisan. That's the second phase, stage. The third one is when we went into the desert for 49 days. In those 49 days, each day we took away a level of impurity and we gained a level of purity until we came to the 49th gate of purity when we were ra'ui, when we were honored and merited to receive the Torah. That's the third phase. And the fourth phase, of course, is Kabbalah HaTorah, that God gave us his Torah on Shavuos. Ages repeat themselves over and over again in our lives. Let's start with the first phase. Let's go back to Golas Mitzrayim, when the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. The Arizal, who's buried here in Tzfas, said that Golas Mitzrayim, the exile of Egypt, was a lack of das. It was a golas of the das, of the mind, of the knowledge. What did the Arizal mean? Did he mean that we were stupid? We had a low IQ, we were foolish? No, he didn't mean that. True das, what is true understanding and knowledge? Quote the pasuk, v'yadata hayom, and you should know today, meaning knowing, the word v'yadata means das, knowledge, v'sheivosa elavavecha, and you should bring it down, return it to your heart. Yashem hu Elokim, God is God. In other words, the true das, it's not just knowing it up here, like 5 + 5 = 10 or pi square or any kind of tremendous equation that somebody might have memorized or even know, but it's bringing it down to our heart. It's feeling it and it's living it. And everyone knows there's a creator in the world. Ask anybody. In fact, a rabbi's son once went off to yeshiva to learn about God and to learn Torah. Came back a year later, his father said to him, "Nu, my dear son, what did you learn?" He said, "I learned Yesh Elokim Ba'olam, Tranan Agat of der Welt. I learned that there's a God in the world." He said, "I sent you away for a year just to learn that." Even the maidservant knows it. Come on in. He called in the maidservant. He said, "Tell me, is there a God in the world?" She said, "Yes." So his son answered his father, "She says, but I know. She knows, but I feel." And that's the idea. When the Arizal says that the das, our knowledge was in Golis, we did not feel connected to God. We did not feel his presence, his light, his holiness. And when we say the pasuk again, v'yadata hayom, you should know today, v'ashivoso alavavecha, bring it down into your heart, k'Hashem, God is God. We say here two names of God, Hashem and Elohim. Hashem, we know, is the characteristic of kindness. When we say Hashem, Hashem, the 13 attributes of kindness begins with God, God, the name of Hashem. Another attribute of his is Elohim, which is can be translated and understood as strict justice. Pasuk is teaching us Hashem hu Elohim. The same God of kindness is the God of justice. The same God that we beg and turn to and realize is our loving Father, he's the same God that sometimes has to show us justice get us back on track, to bring us closer to him, to give us a happier, more fulfilled life. It's the same God. It's the same Hashem. So each person goes through this. A person, a period of our lives when we know there's a creator, we know it in our head, but it's not translated into our feelings or our actions. We're just not feeling it. We're not living it, which is what happened to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. So when that happens, what does a person do? He can't live with a lack. He has to fill the lack somehow. If he doesn't find it in God and his Torah and in mitzvahs, he'll search elsewhere for it. He'll seek something else. And the reality of the world is that there's a lack in the world. Like we say, whenever we drink something, drink water or tea, or we have a piece of cheese, chocolate, I know nobody here has that, but it's spelled C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E. You can Google it. Anyway, when we have one of those, we make a Borei Nefashos after. And the words say, thank you, Hashem, for creating a world. Borei Nefashos, you created souls, v'chesronon, and their lack. Because we come to the world to fulfill the lack. We come to the world to fulfill the void. The Jewish soul fills the void by doing Torah and mitzvot. Like a little baby, he's born not circumcised. And he has to have a milah, he has to have a bris, a circumcision, to become complete and to on his journey of completion. And so too with us. So too with us. So if a person does not fill the void with Torah and mitzvahs and kindness and prayer, so of necessity, he's going to have to fill it from another source, because none of us can live in a vacuum. So other desires will fill its place. To fill this screaming void, a person will pursue sometimes desires for a whole lifetime until he wakes up. He'll pursue making his first million to have it in the bank and then go on to his second. He'll pursue visiting the world and traveling all over, or eating at the best 10 restaurants in the world. Everybody has a vision. Everybody has a goal, a dream. Become vice president, maybe even one day president. He'll party in India or in South America. These are goals. These are lacks that he's trying to fulfill. He will search for life and vitality. And you know what? He will attain it. He will often attain it until one day he wakes up and sees that it's just a void. It's just a lack. And God willing, we'll wake up before 120. We'll wake up before, I mean, it's beautiful. There was a rabbi in the Gemara. He woke up the last day and he cried and cried to do tshuva, to repent, because he was he had done serious sins. And he passed away from his crying and his repentance. And a bas kol, a heavenly voice, came out and said, Rabbi is accepted into the next world. In other words, a bas kol, heaven, gave him the title of rabbi because he was so sincere. But God will, and if anybody remembers his name, which I don't, because it's very hot the last few days and I've been in the house for a few days, few weeks, going on a few months, so my memory is not as clear as it should be. Anybody remembers, please put it in the chat and we'll all benefit. Let's hope that we remember today and not when we're like, so old that it's hard to run around and hard to do mitzvahs and hard to pray and hard to, God willing, we'll have that strength. But let's try to remember today. So when a person doesn't know that there's a God, that's the definition of exile of the mind, that the Arizal told us was the exile of Egypt. The Jewish people were in exile in their mind. They had lack of das. And so they had this lack of das, and a person can't really be held responsible for it. A person cannot find God when they don't know there is a God. A person can't search. The Jewish people could not have brought themselves out of Egypt because they weren't up to first base yet. And when a person doesn't know that God exists, there's no chance that he will search God. So now we come to phase two. Phase two, if you remember from the four phases, is the exodus from Egypt. Yetzias Mitzrayim. We say the Haggadah every single night, every single night of the Pesach, the Leil Seder, the night of Seder. We say in the Haggadah the words, and if you have, it's probably page 84 on the Maxwell House Haggadah, and it says on that page that Ani velo malach, ani velo saraf. I, God is saying, took out you, Jewish people. I am not an angel. I am not a heavenly angel. And it's speaking about the night of Egypt. And it says in Mishpatim, this is the Sefer, the book of Shemos, the of Exodus, the second Sefer of the five books of Moses, chapter 12, verse 12, speaking about the night of the Exodus, but God says, Vavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, I passed through the land of Egypt, Belaila hazeh, and this night, Ani Hashem, I am God. Rashi says, on this, on I am God, Ani ba'atzmi, I myself, v'lo al yidei shaliach, not through a messenger. Anihu v'lo achir, the Haggadah says, I and nobody else. The redemption of the Jewish people was God's divine spirit. It was Gilui Shechina, the revelation of his divine spirit. This Haggadah, we say, is a mitzvah to say it, a mitzvah from the Torah to transmit the Jewish heritage of our beginnings from father to son through the generations. God gave us the Torah with miracles. He gave us the Torah on Sinai, which soon we're going to celebrate, Shavuos, in front of over 600,000 people. It was not a private, individual revelation. It was the whole world knew about it. And since then, every father transmits this revelation to his son, so it's never lost. It's the golden chain that is never broken. And since that year of Exodus, when God took us out of Egypt and 49 days later gave us the Torah on Mount Sinai, we read this account every year on Passover Eve. This evening bears with it, it's a gift. It gives us every person a tremendous spiritual gift of light from God that we can attach to and we can rise up on this night. The main narration, and interestingly enough, on the Haggadah begins with the following words. In the beginning, our forefathers served idols. The Chafetz Chaim says on this, our forefather Abraham was the first one to believe in one God. Like it says, Avram Haya Echad, he was one. Ivri, he was on one side and the rest of the world was on the other side. He taught us to stand up for ideals, to stand up for what we believe in, even if we're alone and one. He was a one and alone. He was the first to believe in one God, who is sometimes called the God of Abraham, the kind of God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We start with the Haggadah, which is the main, during the year, transmission of our heritage from father to son throughout all the generations, with what words? Our fathers in the beginning served idols. It's a ganai, it's something that's not a compliment. But we as Jewish people were called Yehuda, Yehudim. The word Yehuda means modet, to admit. We're honest. We admit. We don't pretend to make it very glossy and colorful or with a lot of sparkles and a lot of stars. Wow. No, we say the truth as it is. And when a nation, shows the humility and the honesty to admit and to share on this great night to generations to come, our very lowly beginnings, we can all understand that it's true. We could all understand we're not trying to pull the wool over anyone, over ourselves as well. We want to admit and we want to grow. We want to grow and come close to the God who took us out of Egypt. Ani v'lo malach, ani Hashem. God took us out. And why? Well, it was simple. We could not have gotten out by ourselves. We were so deeply entrenched in the 49 gates of impurity. Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, if you think of the word Mem, Sadik, Resh, Yud, Mem. I'm sorry, I don't have it on Zoom this week because I just didn't get it together. So bear with me. The word Mitzrayim, you look at it, has a word in there, tsar, narrow. Meitzar is narrow. It's like the meitzar hagaron. It's the narrow part of our neck. That's what we use to cry out to God, to get us out of the narrowness of the exile into the wideness of the redemption. And the word narrow-mindedness, which is what the Arizal said, we lacked das, we lacked understanding. This is the evil inclination. This is Mitzrayim. This is the Satan. This is Paro. He narrows our perspective. He bounds us to the laws of nature, to giving up on ourselves. He chains us in sadness and lack of self-worth and lack of belief in God and in ourselves. To leave all this, there must be Gilui Shechina. There must be a revelation from God himself, because no one ever could come close or ever did repentance without God revealing the light to him. No one did it solely on his own. It must be that God comes down and brings us up, as he did to the Jews in Egypt. If a person would have awakened on his own, he really would not have been in Egypt, for Egypt is the lack of knowledge. And we cannot be held responsible when we're in that situation. This is called Isarusa de la Ela, the arousement from above. God, out of his great love, comes and like plucks us up. We're in the dirt, we're down there, we're running, we're full of self-glory or honor, running for money, wanting to get more covered. And God sees this, and he takes us because of his great love and mercy, and he brings us up. Ask many Balei Tshuva, people that have done and have been merited to come back to God and done repentance and tshuva. They'll say, it's very hard to explain how I did it. It's very hard to explain to anyone else, let alone to myself. Person was in the middle of running through life, running to get a career, running through college, running to make $1 million, running to have more fun, running to have more friends, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, person gets this hara, this loving ore, light from God, and he starts to run. This time he starts to run in a different direction. He doesn't stop running. He starts to run in a different direction. Now he's running to shul. He's running to learn. He's running to David. She's running to Bas Medrash, to Judy. We're running to buy challahs for Shabbos or make challahs for Shabbos. This is, God gave us this present. Ani velo malach. God took us out and not even an angel. God himself took us out. He gave us this Or Eloki, this godly light. And at that moment, when that happens to us, a person has no questions. There's no question in the world. All I want to do is bask in the light and love of God's presence. Nothing else matters. Everything pales in comparison. It's dwarfed. It's boring. It's two-dimensional at best. This is all I want. This is what God did for the exodus of Egypt. There was a pillar of cloud that left Egypt on its journey towards Israel, and the Jews followed it. No questions asked. I'm with you. I'm on. Count me in. The entire nation went after the pillar. And sometimes each of us feel this pillar of cloud of God's presence, and we go after it. This is the second phase of the four phases. To recount, the phase of exile in Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, that God came and took us out. That's the second. The third is the traveling, the Sfiras HaOmer, the time in the desert, the 49 days between leaving Egypt and receiving the Torah. And the fourth is receiving the Torah. God gave us with Oso Sumosin, with Nisim, with signs and miracles. So when we think about this second phase, and we look into it deeply, what is missing? Something is missing in this second phase. It's like too good to be true. It's like a fairy tale. Anybody can guess or add what is missing in this second phase? Well, I'm sure you're thinking about it. It's our work, our free choice. We were handed everything on a golden platter. What did we do to deserve it? What did we do to work for it? And to earn it. There's no self-work at this stage. It's a gift. It's a heavenly arousement. It's a light. But one of the purposes of creation is that we will choose and work and deserve closeness to God, then we truly appreciate it. Because a person that's given a gift, okay, thank you very much, I'm enjoying it. But if a person works hard for that same thing, really enjoying it. There's a real enjoyment after working to attain something. Now, this heavenly light that God shone on us in Egypt lasted for exactly 24 hours. He took us out on the 15th of Nisan, and on the 16th, this light disappears. We're back in the dark. Game's over. Not really. Game is just beginning. Because the Arizal says, even when this spiritual gift of light disappears, it does not disappear 100%, because then we would actually be back in the dark. And it would be very hard to see the light and overcome the dark and come back close to God. So the Arizal says, when this disappears, God does not take it away completely 100%. He leaves with us an impression of that light called Rishimo, like a Roshan. We still have some impression of that light to keep us going in the dark. On a personal level, God's light for a Baal Tshuva or for somebody who's going up a higher level in closeness in service of God, that light may not necessarily last 24 hours. That light might last a week, a month, could last a year, while the person's just, you know, like running up this ladder, like, I don't care about anything else kind of thing. But when he takes it away after that period of day, of time, person wakes up the next morning and looks in the mirror and says, where'd these payas come from? Where'd this yarmulke? What's that doing on my head? Oh, wait, you're all women here? Oh, yeah, okay. Where's this head covering, this tichel? Where'd that come from? It's like person wakes up to a new reality. And that's called phase three. That's called the days of Sfiras HaOmer, which we're in now. These are tests. These are tests of faith. Sfiras HaOmer is the word Omer. We used to give an amount of Sa'ora. What is Sa'ora? It's a food for an animal. We are trying in these days to lift ourselves up, to lift our animalistic instincts to become pure, to become worthy of God, to become manlike and even angel-like. This is the work of these days. The lights have been turned off, the curtain is closed, we don't feel that tremendous closeness to God. It has disappeared, but we're left with that impression. When we had that Gilui Shechina, that revelation, person feels such a pleasure and joy to be with God. Nothing else matters. But when it turns, the lights turn off, and God wants us now to work on it and prove ourselves, then we don't feel that closeness so much, but we remember how good it felt to be close to God. We remember that impression. This happens not only now in this period of the year during the Sfiras HaOmer, the days between Pesach and Shavuos, but it could happen to a person many times in his life. Because interestingly enough, these Sfiras HaOmer are seven characteristics which we grow and try to climb into the and the ladder of reaching closer to godliness. And it starts with chesed, and it goes up to malchus. And each week we concentrate on one personality, one characteristic trait. The first week was chesed, kindness. The second week, gvura, which means boundaries, to be able to say no, to be able to overcome. The third week is a combination, a merging of both. That's tiferes, that's a beauty, that's truth. Chesed on the right hand, gevura, which is boundaries on the left hand, the strength to say no to our evil inclination, come back together to merge with tiferes, which is beauty, which is truth, which is chesed was after Abraham, gevura after Isaac. Isaac went through willingly, almost being sacrificed, being willing for God. That takes a lot of strength. And in the middle is Jacob, which represents the Torah, which represents truth. But not only is every week one of these characteristics, but within the week are all seven characteristics. Within each character are all other seven. They permeate and they combine together. And we have a whole beautiful network of what we can work on every single day. So let's go back to the first week. There's chesed sheva chesed. That's the real joy, like, you know, double whammy joy, joy within joy. Then there's gevura sheva chesed. There's justice and strength in the joy. Then there's teferes, all the way through the seven, all the way through the seven. And this is the time that we have to work, and God gives us the opportunity to work on these midos, on these characteristics. And not only during that time, but a person going through life can all of a sudden feel the lights are out. And when that happens, he starts to give up. I've been working so hard on snias, on kindness, on not talking lashon hara, on smiling, you name it. I've been working so hard, and now I don't feel like doing to smile. I don't feel like praying. I don't even feel like opening a siddur. I'm very tempted to talk lashon hara about my neighbor, and I'm feeling like angry and impatient. And what happened to all my years of work? So firstly, don't give up. The reshimo, the impression of that closeness, is still within our heart. And secondly, if we view these spheros, these spheres, we'll see that whenever we jump a level of the seven, where do we land? We land in the lowest of the next level. In other words, if a person jumps from, let's say, we'll go towards the bottom, from Netzach into a higher level, which is called Teferis, where does he land? He's worked so hard that he gets the grade, like he goes up a rung. He's higher now, and he's no longer in the world or in the sphere of where he was, Netzach. He's in a higher sphere. Now he's in Teferis, which is higher than Netzach. But remember, the seven levels of each sphere, the lowest level is Malchus. The lowest level has no lights of its own. It's like a Muna. It lives from faith. The lowest level is black and dark. So what really happened in reality is I jumped up to a higher world, to a higher sphere. What do I feel inside my heart? The lights went out. It's dark. Again, I'm not connecting. Again, I'm not feeling. So don't give up. It's the opposite. Be reassured and encouraged, because when that happens, you've jumped up higher and now you're in the lowest level of the higher world, which is dark. It's brought down beautifully in the words of Mishle by King Solomon. We sing the Eishes Chayil, Ta'ama ki tov sachra. She tasted that its merchandise is good. Which merchandise are we talking about? The merchandise of the Torah. Torah is the best eschayra. Torah is the best merchandise. After tasting it, lo yichba balayla neira, her light will not be extinguished at night. When the lights are out and she's working hard and she's like not feeling, lo yichba, because she tasted it once. And there's also a mashal, an example of yayin hungari. That's supposed to be like the most delicious wine. So a person from a different country once had a bottle of yayin hungari, of wine from Hungary, and he tasted it. It was really delicious. So after a while, friends came to him and said, here, have some wine. It's Hungarian wine. He said, you can't fool me. You can't fool me. I tasted it once. I want the real McCoy. I want the real thing. After tasting the real thing, we're not going to be extinguished. Our light will never be extinguished and we'll never settle for anything less. That's why we're always trying to go higher, always searching, always looking for godliness, for the light, because it's so deep entrenched in our soul. It's there, and we want it again. We want more and more. It's like we're not satisfied. We always want another mitzvah, another chesed, another bracha, another. So this is phase three. This is a sphere sa'omer, when all these negative, bad, I should say negative emotions come back to us. And this is our time. This is our opportunity to work. This is our opportunity to choose the good. And we get this strength. We have the light. And now, what is the heart of what we're trying to accomplish in the Sefer HaOmer in these days? It's threefold. We're working on our characteristic traits, like chesed, doing more for each other, not being angry or impatient. We're working on worldly desires, like to try to like, okay, we all need money and we all need food, but we could be spending 100 years trying to get money and then, or food, and then what will happen to our spiritual desires, and how will we chase them and think of them and yearn for them and be busy with them? So it has its place. And the third one is faith in God, that everyone has questions in God, and this is the time to overcome our questions with the faith that we got when we left Egypt, the faith that we got when God split the sea and we walked through the sea and there were miracles, the faith of in Egypt when we had the man is food that came down from heaven. Man is from the word, is the beginning of the word emuna, faith, and the faith of God giving us the Holy Torah on Mount Sinai, in Sivan. The not good traits we had just discussed could be jealousy, anger, impatience, could be misplaced desires. It could be lack or confusion of faith in God. How do we make order of all this? It sounds like a very big order, and like, where do I start? You know, it's like, this is like a high calling. Where do we start? So let's start right where we are. Let's start in the seven spheros of weeks. Let each sphera includes all seven, like we said, and each sphere has its own work to uplift and to fix to litaken. This is the cornerstone of each person and what we have to accomplish and overcome in our lives. And we certainly will have extra heavenly assistance. The first one we said is chesed. This is the root of uplifting everything. On a simple level, it means do a kind action to each other. Do something nice. Pour somebody a cup of tea. Now during Corona, it might be a little hard. So here you can join my tea virtually. You can give each other a hug virtually. We could smile to each other. Actually, smiling is a very simple thing. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of muscles. I think it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. And yet, smiling can save somebody's life. Smiling can have a tremendous, tremendous impact on someone. And I will read from Sichos Haran that Rabbi Nachman wrote, through joy, you can give life to another person. Because there could be a person who's going through a lot of hard times, yisurim gidolim, and he can't even talk about it, what's on his heart, to others. And they wish they had someone to share, but they don't. If somebody comes to him, if a person comes and gives him a smile, a real genuine smile from the heart, he can give him life. He can rejuvenate him. Mamish. And Rabbi Nachman continues, to give life to somebody else, to give him a feeling of liveliness, is not a small thing. It is a very big thing. So that's one of the ways we could do chesed. You call up a friend and smile and give her encouragement. Now, on a deeper level, not that that's not deep, is that God created inside of us, there's two integral needs in every soul. There's a need to take, mekabel, and there's a need to give, latate, to give. Our nature, before working on our nature, our animalistic nature is to take. We learn this a lot. We go through life. What can I get out of this? What's in this for me? What can I get from this? Many people are like that who haven't worked to overcome them. A smart person may realize, well, I have to give a little bit in order to get a lot. So he gives in some, but his intentions are always, what's in it for me? Which is animalistic, which is sometimes the Western culture to a large extent. Tell us, take what you can get. Just take. Don't think of the other person as much as think of yourself. You come first. And they say the source of joy is how much I can get, how much I can take. And they're wrong. They are wrong. Because the Western culture, when they say this or put this in our minds, is wrong. It's false. The more you take, the less happy you will be. The more you give, the happier you will be. Giving, Rabbi Dessler said, the word have is to give. It's the same as the word It's a shoresh, the root of the word ahava, love. The way to love someone is how to give them. The way to love ourselves and to be happy is to give ourselves and to give others. So we can start, we should start at a small level, to, a little bit to give every day, a little bit more to think about someone else. Only Moses, I believe, was on the level of only giving. But we can give on small ways. In fact, the Arizal says on the Pasuk in Pirkei Avos, the Pasuk says in Pirkei Avos, chapter 4, 15, Mishnah 15, Reb Matzia ben Charash says, "Have a makdim b'shalom kol adam." You should be the first to give shalom, to say hello to someone. You're walking down Rehov Yerushalayim, you're walking down Yerushalayim, you're walking someone, you see a friend, be the first to say hello. Because the first one who says hello, the Arizal says, he's the giver. The one that responds and says hello back, he's the receiver. We have an opportunity to be the giver, and that gives us happiness as well. We should try to give more and take less. There was a 71-year-old man who had a tragedy happen, and he was, before this, he was very, very rich, very respected. He had a billionaire. I mean, he had everything at his fingertips, people and cars and mansions, and you know, anything he said, people would jump to do what he did, what he asked for. The world was his. He had a lot of power, a lot of, he was in charge of a lot. And then when this tragedy happened, he lost his power, he lost his income, but he still had his money, but it didn't mean anything to him. He was sitting in his house depressed. So he asked his nephew, "What can I do to overcome my depression?" And the nephew asked the rabbi for his advice. And the rabbi said, "How's your uncle feeling? 71 years old. How's his physical strength?" He said, "He's strong as a 40-year-old. He said, "Good. Ask your uncle to become involved in chesed. Ask him to take care of a few families. I'll give you addresses that don't have enough for Shabbos, don't have enough food. But he shouldn't just write out a check and then go back to being depressed. He should go on Tuesday, go to the store, and buy a lot of goodies and staples for Shabbos. On Wednesday, when he brings it home, he should divide it up and put it into sal, you know, those like bags. On Thursday night, he should deliver it to the 10 addresses and 10 people that are waiting for him, see the smile on their faces. And little by little, if he does this for a few weeks, certainly for a few months, he'll creep out of his sadness. Because when you think of someone else and you see how God has given you so much, then you start to realize, I'm very blessed. I'm very, very lucky. God has given me a lot. And when I can give to others, I can appreciate what I have. That's the first week. The second week, we said, is gevura, is a characteristic of boundaries, of overcoming, overcoming. It says in Pirkei Avos, chapter 4, again, first Mishnah, Ezehu Gibor, who is a true warrior, a true strong person? Hakovesh es Yitzro. He is the one that overcomes his bad inclination, his worldly desires. And again with this, we should start with small steps, because a little bit is also good. We can't change and do 180-degree change overnight. It's not something zbang v'gamarnu. It's not something we can buy at a store or even online. It's a work of days, of weeks, of years. And we start small because gevura, that's from Egypt. The Egyptians said, you have no control. You have no control of your life. You have no control of your destiny. You have no control of your evil inclination. Just go with it because you don't have the strength to control it. That's like what addiction is. Addiction is a person doesn't have the strength. He says, I'm not going to smoke. But then he goes and gets the cigarette. Then he goes and takes a drink, whatever his addiction is, because he has no control over it. Our souls are stronger than any addiction. Our souls have godliness in it. Our souls, we remember the Rishimo, the inspiration of the light of God. So we're stronger, and we have to remember, ma'at zegam kein tov, a little bit is also good. For example, if a person smokes every day, he starts his first cigarette at 10 o'clock in the morning, let him start it at 10:10. Those 10 minutes will start to give his body and his soul the idea, you know what, you can be in control. You can overcome this. You're not a victim to it. Person wants to lift 50 kilos and he's only at 20. So what do? We start with the 20. We lift 20 every day for a couple weeks, a month. Then we go on to 24 until a year later, we've gotten there. We lift the 50, but if we shouldn't, God forbid, start and try the first day. It's dangerous, and then we could give up. And so too, we have the muscles in the body and we have muscles in our soul. We can give strength to our spiritual muscles. Let's say a person wants to stop eating that quickly or that much. So he has his 5 schnitzels and try to wait 4 minutes in between schnitzel. It might be too hard, try to wait 2. I'm eating a piece of cake, try to say no to my second piece of cake. No, to the second, no, that I never heard of. Try to say no to the 5th piece of cake. Okay, I can do that, I can overcome that, I can do it. And then we little by little reach the potential of our who we really are, and we rise to the potential. This is our work in the week of Gevura. This is part of our work. Everyone has their own personal work to do. But we have to remember that shum ratzon holech li'ibud, not one good desire goes for lost, gets lost. We are out of progress, we're out of process, and nothing goes lost, even if we don't see the results. Like Shelley said in her beautiful Devar Torah, that even we don't see how water can change a stone, but it's changing it. We don't see how Rachav could have become, have Ruach HaKodesh overnight. She did. And so we can believe in our own strength. We can believe in our own strength. And when we're fighting the war against the evil inclination, against Paro, we're fighting the war for God, we're winning it. We might not see winning the battles. We might still be in the trenches fighting it. But the very fact that we're fighting it, we're winning it. The third week is Yaakov Tiferes, like we said, the Midah of truth, combining kindness and boundaries, strictness. This is the fusion. Yaakov was the Midah of truth. We should not lie. We should not lie to ourselves. He was the Midah of Torah. We should learn more Torah. Thank you, Judy, for giving us this opportunity. And we should be honest with ourselves. We should feel the humility. But there's a danger in honesty. If we're so honest with ourselves, we'll feel like throwing in the towel. Oh my, I'm like this. There's no hope for me. That's not the honesty that God wants. Honesty that God wants. The truth that God wants is emes lamito. It's the truth of truths. It's the truth that will bring us closer to God and not farther. After the work of all these days, Sfiras HaOmer, and there's 4 weeks to go, of where we're holding now, not today, of where we spoke about 3 weeks and now we have 4 weeks to go. Now we come to Shavuos, Kabbalah Satorah, that we receive the Torah. Hashem gives us a new madrega, a new level, that this time we'll never lose it. We'll never lose it because we worked for it. We deserved it. We earned it. And we went back, Pesach, we could lose that level because it was a gift, a freebie. But now with the Rishimo, the impression that we had from God's light, and with hard work and choosing little by little, have patience with ourselves, and to get there, it's ours forever. The Arizal says, he was buried in Svat, that the days of Sfiras HaOmer are great days. They're like Chalamoid. It's in a way, Pesach is the first part of the holiday, Shavuos is the second, and in the middle is Chalamoid. Days of Sfira. These are days of Avoda. And there's days in a way of din, of justice. These are days that we have to work very, very hard not to get upset, not to be impatient, not to be harsh, and to do a lot of justice. And we said before, Rabbi Akiva married Rachel. At the age of 40, he had never learned Torah. He went to learn with children. And after 24 years, he came back with 24,000 students. He was the Gadol Hador. The Arizal says, Rachel, his wife, made him and built him to become this. And we know stories we heard today, a beautiful story. And she wanted to see him. He's surrounded by students. People of Jerusalem come out to greet the Gadol Hador. Like if Rav Kanievsky would come to Tzfas, how would anybody weave their way through to see him? And she was working hard, weaving her way through to get to him. People were saying, stay away, stay away. And he said, let her come in. And let her come. Shali v'shalcha shalahi. All my Torah, Rabbi Akiva said, and all your Torah is hers. We have her to thank. And this Torah that Rabbi Akiva revealed, it is so powerful and so great that we need the keli. We need to have vessels to be able to accept it and to live it. And those vessels are never to be strict or impatient with anyone else. The Torah illuminates the world with peace. It's a Torah of peace. And in order to have that peace with each other, we first have to have that peace with ourselves and to pass it on to others, to live with peace, to have an ayin tovah, to look at the good of others. Also, we said the third work in these days of Sfiras HaOmer is the work of faith. And sometimes it feels these days of justice, all is lost, all is dark. It's like, I remember, I sort of feels like I'm in the plague of darkness, where the first 3 days we couldn't see, the second 3 days the Egyptians couldn't even move. This is a darkness that's paralyzing. And I can't move, all is dark, but I believe in God, that he will never, ever forsake me, and that my salvation is by him. And that's the eighth, so that's the advice. When everything seems to go wrong, maybe God forbid in the days of Corona now, when a person is feeling low and heavy and dark, to close his eyes and to accept. To close his eyes and not even say anything. Vayidom Aaron, like Aaron, was silent when his two sons passed away. He accepted silently God's will. We should accept, if we can, God's will, and know that God is never going to leave us. He will never, ever leave us. If we think, well, I'm not worthy of his salvation, that's the eights of the Yetzirah. That's the Satan talking to us, because God helps those of us who are worthy and those of us who aren't worthy. God loves me, Ahava she'enat tluyah b'davar. He loves me with a love that's not dependent on anything. Because if God would love only his righteous tzaddikim, that would be dependent. Okay, you're good, I'll love you. You're bad, X. No, God loves all of us. A love that's not dependent on anything. And when God was about to split the Yam Suf and we were leaving, there were persecuting angels that said they were on the offense. And they said, how could you do this? The Jews worship idols. How could you do this? And Moses tried to plead our case. God said to Moses, this is not a time for prayer. This is a time to do. I said, what should I do? He said, tell the people, don't be afraid. I'm with you and I'm going to save you. And there was one man, Nachshon, the son of Aminadab. He did the action that saved us. He had this faith. He jumped into the river, the sea. It got all the way up to his neck, maybe up to his nostrils. And then God split the sea. Who was Nachshon ben Aminadab? There were 10 generations from Judah, Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, until David, King David, David Mashiach, our Mashiach. He was in there. He was a great-grandfather of King David. And this was part of the whole life from Yehuda, who believed and who admitted his fault, all the way down to David, who believed in God. And in this belief, we will merit Mashiach. And this is our work in these days. God, I believe, even if it's dark, even if a person is paralyzed in the darkness, you will help me, that you love me and you will take me out. And this is an opportunity to rise from the darkest place all the way up to Keter, to God's crown. Because Keter is a place of silence. Keter is a place of I accept in silence whatever God does to me. I know it's from his love and I know he'll take care of me. And this is when we receive the Torah anew next week, because every Shavuos we receive it from anew, it will be ours forever. We spoke of Das. We spoke of the knowledge of God. This week's Haftarah, it says something beautiful. Bamidbar, this coming week's Haftarah is Hosea, the second parak, says, Ve'rastech li ba'amuna, I will become engaged to you. I will marry you with faith, v'yadat es Hashem, and you will know God. Meaning, how can we come to know God? It's through faith. And this pasuk, these are the words a Jewish man says every single morning when he wraps the strap of the tefillin around his finger. He says, "Ve'rastech li ba'amuna," and we will become engaged to each other via dat es Hashem, and you will know God. You will have this intimate knowledge and closeness with God. This act shows us that we are engaged and married to God, just like a chassan a groom under the chuppah puts a ring on the same finger as his kala, so too are we showing through the tefillin that we are one with God, we are married to God. Why don't we put on tefillin on Shabbos? Because Shabbos is an os. Shabbos is a sign in itself that we are one with God. Os hi beini uveincha la'olamei ad is a sign forever that God and us are married. So we don't need the sign of tefillin. But that knowledge, that amuna, will bring us out of Golis for the final redemption, maybe soon in our days. Thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful week working and choosing to come close to God and feeling that love and awe that he gave us when he took us out of Egypt.
Thank you so much, Miriam. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got my Wheaties for the week now. Thank you.
Cheerios. Cheerios.
Cheerios. Okay.
Cheerios.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. I'll smile through all this. All my love and joy and health, happiness and nachas.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Miriam. It is just what I needed.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Bye, Miriam.